point, I would go Mac Jones, quarterback at Alabama, simply because I think you knew when Kyle Shanahan made this move from 12 to 3, he had targeted a quarterback. And you think about Zach Wilson, they knew he was going to go number two to the Jets when they made that move. And you think about what Mac Jones brings to that 49er offense, incredibly intelligent, super accurate, a guy that I think will be able to be out there week in and week out for this football team. Jimmy Garoppolo had durability questions. You know, staying healthy was a problem with Jimmy. Mac Jones, I think, will be the kind of quarterback, and Mike Shanahan involved in this process as well, as DJ knows, with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. I think when the trade was made, we thought Mac Jones or Trey Lance, not Justin Fields. I would go Mac Jones at about 70%, Trey Lance at probably 30% for this particular pick from a mock draft standpoint.
Mel Kiper Jr. appearing on NFL Network. Yes, that's correct. Doing a little crossover action, both networks this week, talking about what he sees at number three. This has been a topic of discussion a couple times on the show already this week, Bick. San Francisco at number three. The consensus is we know Trevor Lawrence is going number one. Zach Wilson going number two to the Jets. San Francisco at three, moving up to get a quarterback. I refuse to come off the Justin Fields stance until today, and I'll tell you why in a second. But that was Mel Kiper Jr. 70% Jones, 30% Lance. Didn't even consider Fields.
Yeah.
At number three. Daniel Jeremiah, in that same segment as they did this crossover on NFL Network, kind of said the same thing.
With you, I think that's what will happen. I would argue to me, if I'm in that position, I would want Trey Lance, just because you talk about the durability, staying healthy. With his build, that's not going to be a problem. He's going to protect the football. He's going to add more to your offense because of what he can do athletically. And the accuracy issues that he does have, I feel like there are some mechanical tweaks, much like Josh Allen, the tweaks that he made that improved his accuracy. I think you could see that with Trey as well. So I'm leaning towards it being Mac Jones, but man, I would love to see Trey Lance in that offense.
Okay, so go ahead.
Babe, no. None of this makes one bit of logical sense to me. Trey Lance played at a small school and has a very short resume, sort of like Mitchell Trubisky. Yet Trey Lance has got...
At least Trubisky played in the ACC.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I understand why you can look at Trey Lance and go, wow, look at all those tools. But if you ever are talking about a project, how do you go from North Dakota State to the NFC West? That to me, and then to go from a guy who is all upside and untapped potential to a guy who is more just kind of good at the core competencies of quarterbacking, making good decisions, throwing accurately at Mac Jones. These are two wildly different decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So how could you be choosing between that and this? That's like chocolate or vanilla.
I like chocolate and vanilla.
You do?
That's my Howie Roseman impression.
Here we go.
It needs a little work.
I like vanilla and chocolate. Hey. I like vanilla and chocolate.
Okay, here's the item on Justin Fields that is making news right now.
All right.
Ian Rappaport within the last 10 minutes. Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields has confirmed to NFL teams during the pre-draft process that he is managing epilepsy, a neurological disorder that can cause seizures. Per me and Tom Pelissero, Rappaport wrote, it has not affected football, and doctors believe he'll outgrow it as other family members have. He followed up and said the illness has not affected Justin Fields on the field, and other family members have outgrown it in their 20s. The prognosis from doctors is that Fields should be in the same situation. Fields' symptoms have been shorter and less frequent over the past few years. Okay. That's a concern. I get it.
Yeah.
I wonder about, I know we're learning of this now.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that this was shared with NFL teams earlier in this whole process than 8 days before the start of the first round. But now it starts to make more sense.
Without a doubt.
Doctors have a prognosis, but neurological disorders kind of make up their own mind a lot of times.
Huh. Yeah, well, that's interesting news. Yeah.
I was also reading an article on The Athletic today where they were talking about different NFL Draft Confidential, where they have different coaches from around the league, position coaches, coordinators, whatnot, anonymously give their comments. And on the list of quarterback questions, one of the questions was, what do you make of the criticism of Ohio State's Justin Fields? To your point, Bick, Justin Fields had a really good career at Ohio State. He showed toughness, played through injury in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
He had great games. He had less than great games. But the body of work and the resume is pretty impressive.
Pretty darn good.
And he followed it up with a couple of really good pro days.
Yeah.
From everybody's account. So of the criticism, QB Coach 2 anonymously said, he's the one guy that for whatever reason people are taking shots at, whether they're trying to get him pushed down the board or who knows why. He's the one that everyone wants to bully up on now. He didn't play good against Northwestern, played great against Clemson, and look at his 19 season. He was phenomenal. He's a first-round talent. He is way more polished than Lance. When you hear people talking about how well he processes, you don't see read progressions where it's bang, bang, bang. He's also playing on a different level. You don't know how much that they've taught him. You think, give me a year with this guy and it'll all come together because of his natural athleticism and ability. I love the guy, but if he has to play this year, that's scary. Okay, I think that's a pretty honest assessment.
Mm-hmm.
Another quarterback coach. I have him rated 5th among quarterbacks. He's super efficient, very productive, 230 pounds, runs a 4.4, but I'm not sure that he sees the field that well. He's better when he's letting the game come to him. Don't question his toughness. He played with 2 cracked ribs against Clemson and played like a week later. He's tough as blank mentally and physically.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And yet there are some people who, even early in this process, said he is going to fall down the draft board. Now, I'm curious if this information was out there that people were protecting yet using to chart his path down the draft board.
Yeah, and those are not the first 2 comments either about processing, read progression, all of those things being a concern with Justin Fields. But this is one of the problems in this process, in my opinion. And I'm not standing on the table for Justin Fields. I like him as a prospect. But if you're playing quarterback at Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
and the level of talent you have around you is just so consistently better than your competition, week in, week out, and your first read is consistently getting open, why go through the read progression? Now, one of the knocks is if the first read wasn't there on those rare occasions, he would just tuck it and run. There's other NFL quarterbacks that do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
we got one of those guys.
On the Ohio State thing, what I was thinking of is was the extremely quick flame out of Dwayne Haskins. Is that affecting how people view Fields coming out of
that system?
I
don't know how it couldn't.
Well, the comment that popped up in one of those anonymous coach quotes was, I don't know how much they've taught him. That's where I think that you can make the comparison. Everybody's an individual, even within the same program. But if that's the system and you're just, again, relying on superior talent, and Dwayne Haskins proved mm-hmm. that his work ethic is not very good either. He worked his way out of Washington by not working. Justin Fields doesn't strike me as that guy.
Listen, he doesn't strike me as that guy either. I do think there's a little something to be said about the legacy of the Ohio State quarterbacks. I mean, there's a lot of, who do you got? Mike Tomczak, Braxton Miller,
Bobby Hoying,
Joe Germain, Kirk Herbstreit,
Stanley Jackson,
Terrell Pryor. I mean, it's you know, I mean, this is not QBU.
Did you go off the top of your head there?
No, I'm lying. Art Schleister!
I will bet you that Art Schleister will be a great NFL quarterback.
You will bet,
see
will
what
you?
I did there?
I do see
I know
what you
Art
did
would
there.
Bet you, too.
So the Ohio State quarterback factor, the Dwayne Haskins thing, I think is shading Justin Fields a little bit.
You even left out Troy Smith.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of mediocrity you just went through with all those names.
A lot of college greatness.
Craig Krenzel! Remember that guy?
Former ASU Sun Devil Brett Powers.
That's right.
Transferred the...
I
didn't look any of that up.
That's good.
You had a bigger list than me, but...
Yeah, but I looked it up. Yeah. Once we got started, I did a quick Google search, and fortunately, the scroll came out, and there were a bunch of names there.
Going back to the Trey Lance 49ers thing, why that would make sense for them, of all the teams at the top looking for a quarterback, they're the one that has a quarterback.
Yeah.
But they don't need... So maybe they go for a guy with really high upside that's more raw, knowing that they're going to have Garoppolo for this entire year and they could afford to let him grow after a year.
I'm just my spidey sense is saying there's something big coming And it's going to involve Garoppolo to New England. It's going to involve Deshaun Watson to San Francisco. It's going to, I just feel it. But I mean, Deshaun Watson has got to get free and clear. But don't think for a minute when you're an NFL team considering acquiring Deshaun Watson, that there's big time power brokers maybe having conversations about how do we get that behind you so you can get over here.
Yeah,
just saying.
A lot harder to do when the legal process is in play.
That's exactly right. So they've got to find a way to navigate that. Because everything else just doesn't make any sense to me. Because as Jared said, you got a guy you went to a Super Bowl with. You're not desperate. You don't have to do this. So you trade all that draft capital to get a quarterback like Trey Lance that you park on the sidelines for 3 years, 2 years? You get a guy like Mac Jones who's...
I mean, right away when they said that they're staying with Jimmy Garoppolo this year, it immediately didn't make sense then.
No.
Why are you so desperate to move up in this draft if you also aren't desperate to move on from Garoppolo?
Well, I think the 49ers, I think they would be foolish to feel like they can't get back to a Super Bowl with a healthy Jimmy Garoppolo. There was so many injuries, though, that maybe that clouds the thinking.
Maybe.
This might be a one-year proposition. Jimmy, here's the keys. Enjoy your last drive with this team. Because we just got Mac Jones or Trey Lance or Justin Fields at number 3, and they're taking over next year. Because Garoppolo, I mean, when he's been out there, the team has not struggled. He wins football games.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, I agree with you, and that's why none of this makes a darn bit of sense to me, because Mac Jones, from what I've read, you talk about, okay, the quality of competition you're playing with, it might be easy to overlook how good Mac Jones is, or he might just be somebody like Matt Leinart, who just completely ascends because of these great skilled players around you. I don't know. I certainly would move up 3 for Mac Jones, but that's just me.
Yeah. Starting at the top of the draft, Trevor Lawrence made all kinds of headlines with his comments in a Sports Illustrated interview that said he's not driven by the win Super Bowl at all cost kind of mentality. Then he actually had to come out and clarify his remarks in a 3-tweet thread later on. And that got a lot of reaction. We shared our reaction. I don't think there should be that much of a reaction to it. Football is not everything to him, but it is still very important. Mm-hmm. How do the Jacksonville Jaguars feel about those comments that Trevor Lawrence made? That was clarified by ESPN's Jeremy Fowler.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have no issues with Trevor Lawrence's willingness and drive to be great. So these two sides have spent significant time on Zoom meetings in the last few months just to get to know each other. They've talked about football. They've talked about life. They've talked about the playbook. And both are in a really good place, a place of excitement. And Lawrence, in fact, is excited what Coach Urban Meyer will bring, trying to maximize players in his first year as an NFL head coach. I spoke to somebody close to Lawrence this weekend. They said, look, the guy's been under a microscope as one of the best players in the country for about 5 to 6 years coming out of high school. This is just the way he compartmentalizes and deals with things to find a life balance. But make no mistake about it, Urban Meyer took this job in Jacksonville largely because of Trevor Lawrence. I spoke to an exec this weekend who said, Meyer, if the Jacksonville Jaguars were picking second, he might be coaching the University of Texas right now, making $10 to $12 million a year. He has coveted Lawrence for the last few years, dating back to watching him in Clemson in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's good stuff. It's the correct stance by Jacksonville, too. I would have zero concerns about his drive to be a great NFL quarterback, but that last part, if they had the number 2 pick, he'd be at the University of Texas right now.
I love that. I love that. Yeah, that speaks to Trevor Lawrence. I'm equally fascinated to kind of see this story play out. Can a quarterback be truly great in the way that a number one pick, like, because Trevor Lawrence is going to have the same expectations that DeAndre Ayton had in Phoenix, okay? The city of Jacksonville is going to be expecting a number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And if this guy comes in and doesn't win a job right out or doesn't play well right out, this will come back up. Does he care enough? Is he working hard enough?
Absolutely.
How's that life balance going, Trevor?
And consider the two situations. I mean, Kyler Murray ascended to the number one pick.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence has been hovering as the number one pick for 3 years.
Yeah,
basically, since he took over as Clemson's quarterback, like, that guy's going to be the number one pick.
You know what?
The only surprise about his career is that it didn't include a Heisman Trophy win.
It's like Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning. Like,
yeah,
it's that
same
succession
thing.
Of he's
kind
the
of
next
this was
one.
Your destiny from the day you got to college football. Yeah.
Does Trevor Lawrence have a better rookie year than Kyler Murray?
I don't think so.
So you don't? Well, that doesn't mean necessarily that he won't win NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I don't know. Is Jacksonville ready to win?
I don't know. The Cardinals didn't win. Kyler Murray still won it.
Yeah, right. True. True. I don't know. I think he's going to be good, but I do. His accuracy isn't always all that. I've noticed that in some playoff games. He can airmail some stuff. He's also terrific. He's incredibly athletic for his size.
Yeah. One more from the draft. Cincinnati has the 5th overall pick. Joe Burrow, last year's number one pick of the Bengals. He went on the Chris Collinsworth pod and was asked, hey, you have any input on who the Bengals should take at 5?
I haven't offered up any strong opinion.
Well, let me give you a couple then.
You know, I'm great friends with Jamar. We've been talking for a year since we stopped playing together. We talked, you know, last week. So I'm great friends with Jamar. I know the kind of player that he is, but I think we're in a great spot. I think a lot of the picks in front of us will be quarterbacks. Not sure how many of them, but I think a lot of them will be. So I think we're in a good spot to just take the best available, especially after the free agency that we had. We signed a lot of really good players, got a lot of help on defense, signed Riley Reiff at tackle. He's going to help us a lot. So we're in a really good spot. And, you know, I trust the organization to do what they do and do their jobs and pick the best player.
That's so diplomatic of you, Joe. But they did play. He and Jamar Chase played together for that year, the magical year, maybe the best offense we've seen in college football in the last 50 years. They were completely unstoppable. I haven't put forth any strong recommendations. If I'm Jamar Chase, I'm like, hey, Joe, how about a friend here? I want to go number 5. I think it'd be cool to play in Cincinnati with you.
Well, and
unless Jamar Chase doesn't want to go there.
Well, and not only that, you've got to think that he would be asked his opinion, right? Mm-hmm. If you're vetting a guy, wouldn't you certainly ask a guy a quarterback?
Look, maybe he's just following the Kyler Murray model. You're not really making any cryptic remarks on social media about who to draft or who to acquire until year 3.
Right. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe next year at this time,
Joe Burrow will be all over Twitter going, hey, this guy's good.
Eyeball emojis out of nowhere. Right. Yeah. Jamar Chase is a fabulous player. I do believe he is the best wide receiver in the draft. And I know those Alabama kids are good, but the DeVonta Smith thing,
what he weighed in at officially?
What was it?
166.
6 foot and like 0.2 inches or something?
Yeah, 166.
He is as slight of a wide receiver as, well, Randy Moss was too. But I think
he was like 6'5".
He was 6'5".
That's 15 pounds like less than I weigh.
Uh-huh.
What's your 40?
I'm no beefy
But there's
Joe.
Something to be said. Jerry Rice said this, and this is one of the best things Jerry Rice ever said. Jerry Rice ran like a 4.58 in college. Not fast at all. And his famous line was, nobody ever clocked me on the way to the end zone because nobody could ever catch me. And Fitz is the same way. There are guys when you...
That was before next-gen stats.
That
though.
Is true. Right. That's true. And so there are guys who, when they get on the football field, something happens to them, and they become bigger, stronger, faster, just because they're engaged. They're on the battlefield, if you will. And DeVonta Smith, I mean, every game you watch him in college, he's just blowing through defenses.
Is
that going to translate?
Getting open and making catches is not 100% related to just being faster than your opponent.
Getting open relies very much on quickness and savvy and route running.
Technique.
I love all three of the top receivers in this draft.
Yeah. But you got to admit, DeVonta Smith, think about the battles he's going to fight on the line of scrimmage to get off press. I don't know.
You're not saying.
But then again, he's what?
Well, you're not going to say he's going the full Isabella, are you?
Well,
no.
He had the most remarkable season a wide receiver's ever had.
I know.
In college football, again, part of the great offense, and it's fair.
If
we can express some sort of doubt about Mac Jones, who was quarterbacking that offense, Was he better because everybody was so great on that offense? You have to ask the same questions about guys like Smith and Waddle.
Mm-hmm.
To a lesser extent, Waddle, because, you know, he was hurt. But
right.
The Bama receivers came up in a discussion we had yesterday with Dane Brugler in terms of Cardinal possibilities. What would the Cardinals do, however, if those receivers are not on the board at 16?
If the Alabama receivers are off the board, then I think, you know, probably shifting towards defense. But it also depends who's, you know, how the first 15 picks play out.
Mm-hmm.
You can bet that, what, five quarterbacks go in the first 15 picks. So that means that 10 position players are going to come off the board. And so, you know, there's a good chance that maybe there's a few surprises, which could push a good player to your spot at 16. I think there's some offensive linemen that'll be really intriguing. I don't know if they would go that direction in the first round, like an Elijah Vera Tucker. I know they've got some guys at right guard. They're duking it out for that position, but Elijah Vera Tucker would be an upgrade over all of them. So I think he should be in consideration.
Now, earlier in that conversation, Dane Brugler said, look, if those Alabama receivers are both there or mm-hmm. one of them is there for the Cardinals at 16, the decision might be made for them. Too good to pass up. Interestingly enough, in our Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Cardinals pick will be made today in the 12 o'clock hour by General Manager Vince Marotta. But both of the Alabama receivers are gone. Gambo made a trade and took Waddle at 11 for Jacksonville. And Burnsy followed it up by taking Devontae Smith for Philadelphia at 12. The 13th pick this morning made by Wolf for the Chargers, Elijah Vera Tucker. So a lot of the, and the corners, both J.C. Horn and Surtain went already mm-hmm. this week.
Uh-huh.
So the way our mock draft is shaping up, it's not necessarily great for the Cardinals in terms of having
unless
options.
You like Caleb Farley.
Unless you like Caleb Farley. Yeah. Or a lot of people are starting to jump on the Greg Newsom bandwagon, too, the corner from Northwestern.
Okay.
So will those names be called today? Find out. You got the Patriots coming up at 11:45 at number 15, and then at 12:45, I'll make the pick for the Cardinals as we continue our ultimate mock draft. Coming up next, it's the Wednesday edition of Start,
Sit, Cut.
It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta want to know, who would you start, sit, or cut?
I'm very interested, and I think I speak for you, Bick.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested to see what Jarrett and his mind have come up with this week.
I was told to be a little more out
wacky,
there.
Yeah.
Wacky, so I have Uh-oh. Taken that to heart.
I would like to rescind my last statement.
But All I right. just, but I do want to start with sort of just a regular one here, just to start with.
Okay.
Because we were talking about Larry Fitzgerald earlier and what we would feel if he went to Tampa. Okay? So start, sit, cut how you would feel if he went to Tampa.
Okay.
Anger, sadness, contentment.
Okay. I will start sadness, sit contentment, cut anger.
I think that is the correct order. I wouldn't be 100% content
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the right
there'd
word,
be,
but it's...
There'd be a level of it. Like, hey, good for him. But the fact that he'd be wearing another uniform and doing it somewhere else
yeah.
would be Trump... That would be more sadness than that. So that is the correct order. Sadness, start... Sit contentment, cut anger.
Okay. We talked about Chris Paul and his...
Unless he went like full Simeon Rice and called Arizona the armpit of the NFL on his way out of town.
Well, see, to me, that's...
or retired with a Tampa Bay Buccaneers cap in the Hall of Fame.
See, that's the whole thing to me is that after he makes his decision, his explanation of why he made the decision. Because if it comes out that the Cardinals never made him an offer, didn't want him to come back... If it comes out that he just felt, you know, he feels like they have a better chance to win because he doesn't think the Cardinals can win right now, all that stuff has an impact on how the fans will react. All right, we had Chris Paul, the greatness of Chris Paul, MVP odds, all that stuff talking about. So start, sit, cut. Chris Paul, Mrs. Paul's fish sticks, Paul Rudd. How much you enjoy all of them.
Starting Chris Paul, sitting Paul Rudd, huge fan, seems like a great guy. think we'd be fast like friends.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Paul Fishsticks are getting the axe.
Are you were you a fish stick guy even when you were a kid, younger? Teenager?
I was forced to because that's what my mom would make for dinner sometimes on those nights where there just wasn't a lot of time to cook. And I've never I'm not a fish guy.
It's you and me both.
Fish sticks are just not an adult food, it feels like. Like when was the last time you've had one?
Probably when I was 8.
Yeah.
He's got the right order. Starting Chris Paul, sitting Paul Rudd, cutting Mrs. Paul's fish sticks.
Okay. Since we were just talking about being younger, I want you to start, sit, cut the best time to be in school.
Okay.
Start, sit, cut elementary school, high school, college.
I will start college, sit high school, cut elementary school.
I'm going in the exact opposite order.
So that's a good question.
I'm starting elementary, I'm sitting high school, and I'm cutting college. And most of it's my fault. Again, I did college.
I did it wrong. I needed
an instruction manual, and I didn't have one.
First college class that I attended, I'm like, wait a minute, I can bring a candy bar in here and I can eat in class? Wow, this is interesting.
I can chew gum.
I can chew gum?
I can sleep?
I don't have to go?
I don't have to go? Right.
I'm going
to
choose that option.
That's pretty cool.
That was part of my process of doing college wrong, by the way, was having that freedom.
See,
Not good.
I would rank college first, elementary school second, high school third. High school was the worst to me. But I moved across the country in the middle of high school.
That would be rough. Yeah. Switching schools, especially in a different...
Yeah, I switched schools in eighth grade, and it was by far the worst year of my life. By far.
Yeah,
you
really...
want to talk about it?
No.
It's really... But it's for real, though. Those are your formative years, and when you grow up with a group of friends, especially when you're like just going into like teenage-ness...
Mm-hmm.
Teenageness. I'm not sure if that's the right word.
It certainly is not the right word.
Okay.
No.
this week marks the anniversary of William Shakespeare's birthday and William Shakespeare's death.
Happy birthday, and sorry you're gone, Bill.
He would have been 450.
Way ahead of his
457.
Time.
457. If he only would have been alive today. So we're looking at great William.
Okay.
Start, sit, cut.
William what?
William.
Oh, okay.
So start, sit, cut. William Shakespeare. William Shatner. William Tecumseh Sherman. Great Civil War general for the Union.
Dick, you asked for this, man.
This is what I like. I like this stuff.
I'm starting Shakespeare, I'm sitting Shatner, and I'm cutting Sherman.
I had one of these great, great afternoons sitting in Shakespeare's original pub in London one day. I just kind of felt like this is where I'm supposed to be. In Bill Shakespeare's pub with a big, tall beer. Right? In that whole writer vibe. Starting Shakespeare, sitting William Shatner, cutting
Sherman, both of you.
William Tecumseh Sherman.
What was the name of the... Was it just Shakespeare's pub?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Was it just named after him?
Or no.
Was there a connection?
It was his pub. Back in the day, he actually built a playhouse in the back of it.
Yeah.
So he had this idea, you know what, I'm not just going to write these plays, I'm going to produce them. And so he built a stage out back of the pub, and then he decided to bring real fireworks and things to make it more lifelike and burn the place down.
When you were there, I got to ask the question.
Yeah.
Did they have the Suns game on?
No, but I did watch the Arizona Cardinals from Beijing, China once.
Mm.
That was cool.
I never liked Shakespeare, and probably because I'm just too simple to understand the language, but I never could. I had to read a bunch of those plays in high school and never got me. That's another reason why I didn't like high school. Today, National Cheddar Fries Day.
Ooh, wow.
Okay.
Type of French fry starts to cut cheddar fries, chili fries, regular plain French fries with just like ketchup.
Okay, see, now you're missing a key one. garlic fries.
Okay, garlic fries.
I'm starting garlic fries.
Wait, which one are you replacing? Regular fries?
Regular
with ketchup?
Fries, yeah. That's
yeah.
Garlic fries.
Yeah, garlic fries.
San Francisco Giants, famous for them.
Right, exactly. I'm sitting... Cheddar, what are cheddar fries?
With, like, melted cheese on top.
Okay.
You know, like poutine?
Like poutine.
Without the gravy.
Right, but they don't use cheddar in poutine.
No, it's cheese curds.
It's cheese
curds. Oh, that's true.
Poutine's cheddar fries completely different.
So, like, nacho cheese like you would have on, like, movie theater nachos.
Okay, I'll sit chili fries, cut cheddar fries.
I'm starting garlic fries, sitting cheddar, cutting chili.
Okay.
Not that they're bad.
Chili.
Cheddar.
Garlic.
Pizza.
All right, last one here. Today, on this day 5 years ago, Prince died.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago already. That is something else. Okay. Best performers. Start, sit, cut. Prince. Queen. Elvis, the king of rock and roll.
I like that.
Three of the all-time great performers.
Go ahead, Vinny.
Whether you like their music or not.
Oh, that's so hard. I'm just going in order of my fandom of each. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting Prince, sitting Queen, cutting the King.
Yeah, that's the order. Starting Prince. Man, I miss him. There are two people who have left us. There have been a lot of people who have left us recently. The two that I really miss for their creative energy, Prince and Robin Williams. I am starting Prince, sitting Queen, cutting Elvis.
Well, that would be a hell of a collaboration, Prince and Robin Williams.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
There you go.
We learned something today.
Yeah? I doubt that. But
Jarrett needs a kick in the butt every once in a while.
Yes.
Okay, I'm hearing the In-N-Out cheese fries are the bomb.
Oh, his sources are contacting him right now.
I am, yes.
From a source.
This is what I do. These are my kind of sources.
Poutine trumps all, by the way.
I've never had, like, authentic poutine. I've never been to Canada. But
you don't have to be in Canada to have poutine.
Oh, I know, but, like, the authentic kind with, like, the cheese. That's why I was a little off on that.
They don't have
cheese curds. Jared. They're authentic wherever you get them.
No, but I've only had it with, like, melted, like, nacho cheese.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
You need to get some garlic fries. It'll change your life.
All right, see you guys. I'll be right
Somehow,
back.
We got real hungry on this show real quick. Coming up next, the New England Patriots on the clock at number 15 in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft. Who's Dan Bickley going to pick? We'll find out next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Day three of the Arizona Sports Ultimate NFL Mock Draft started back on Monday when Doug Franz took Trevor Lawrence, number one overall for Jacksonville. We've gone all the way down through 14 picks. And before we get to the choice of GM Dan Bickley, of the wicked awesome New England Pats. Let's take a look back and see what's happened leading up to this pick.
Previously on the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
The pick is in. Let's go to the podium and see what they're going to do here.
With the 11th overall pick in the NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select wide receiver Jalen Waddle.
With the 12th pick in the Arizona Sports 2021 Mock Drafts, the Philadelphia Eagles select Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith.
With the 13th pick in the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive line, USC.
With the 14th pick in the 2021 Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle, Northwestern.
The Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft.
Ultimate Mock Draft.
Bickley and Murata are on the clock.
That means you're on the clock, Bick.
Yeah, it does, Vinny.
What do the Pats do?
As I have steadfastly, as general manager of both the Broncos and the Patriots, steadfastly Refused to answer my phone when people called for trades. Didn't James Jones do that back in the day when he first took over? So I'm not making fun of him. Jamal Crawford.
It's all water under the bridge now.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
So I've had Doug take shots at me for not engaging in his trade foolery. I had Bernsey reach out to me yesterday, of which I did not hear.
Which is weird because you were in the same room. I witnessed it. Leave me alone, Bernsey. I got a plan here.
Right. Well, I wasn't going to squander this opportunity because I know how close Bill Belichick and Nick Saban happen to be. And I know how much Bill Belichick loves accurate, smart quarterbacks. So, with the number 15 pick in the Arizona Sports Ultimate Mock Draft, the wicked New England Patriots select quarterback Mac Jones, Alabama.
Mac Jones, quarterback, Alabama.
In the era of the mobile quarterback, Jones won't impress with his legs. But as we saw in this year's college football national title game, he has the patience in the pocket to find and hit his targets on short and intermediate routes with efficiency and accuracy. Jones is lauded for leadership qualities and his willingness to work to make up for his lack of athleticism. NFL comp, recently retired quarterback Philip Rivers.
Yeah, last year, Mac Jones, in his one full year as a starter at Alabama, just put up ridiculous numbers. 77.4% completions.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't of the dink and dunk variety. They were throwing the ball down the field a lot. 311 of 402, 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks, and a rating of 203.1. Which was a vast improvement over what we saw when Mac Jones, the backup, got thrust into duty in 2019 after Tua Tagovailoa got hurt, and Alabama looked very, very average at that point, mm-hmm. even with all that talent offensively. So
yep.
what he was able to do in grasping that offense as the starter and still working with elite talent, amazing. And now he's off the board, the fourth quarterback taken.
The fourth player from Alabama.
No, the fifth quarterback taken. Lawrence went 1, Wilson 2, Fields 3.
Oh, yeah.
Trey Lance went 7.
So he's 5.
And now Mac Jones.
And the fourth player from Alabama after Patrick Surtain Jr., Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith.
There could be more Alabama players.
Yep.
I mean, Barmore, the defensive lineman, could go. Najee Harris
mm-hmm.
could go later in the draft. So, yeah, Mac Jones off the board at number 15 to Alabama. That means the Arizona Cardinals are on the clock for the next pick coming up in the 12 o'clock hour with number 16, which I got some thinking to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, so if we were going to form a super league in college football, like the plan that just busted in soccer, or at least is busting up in soccer.
Oh, it's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So Alabama is clearly in. LSU is clearly
teams?
In. Well, 15, right? Clemson, well, what number would it make sense?
Maybe 12?
You'd have to have an even number.
Okay.
So the way the Super League was doing it was 15 that are guaranteed a spot every year.
Okay.
So let's just use their model.
Okay. So what teams from the SEC are definitely in?
Alabama,
LSU, Georgia.
Florida.
No.
Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Tennessee.
You're nope. in Florida?
Yeah. All right. I don't know. They're not like a title contender usually.
They were last year.
Oklahoma has to be in from the Big 12.
Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
Texas.
Got to have Texas.
Because
they're better than what everybody thinks they are. Just ask them. They'll tell you.
You got to have Ohio State.
Yep.
You got to have Michigan.
Do you?
I think you do.
You got to have Michigan. Then the question is Wisconsin. Is Wisconsin sort of like in the Florida boat to me?
Well, let's just take the low-hanging fruit.
Okay.
Pac-12, you got to take USC.
Have to take Oregon.
ACC, Florida State is so
iffy. It's a tough one
right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they did just win a national championship, what, like 5 years ago?
When was that?
With Jameis Winston?
They didn't win the national championship with him, did they?
Yeah.
They lost to Oregon.
Oregon didn't win the national championship.
In the semifinals.
I must be wrong.
Yeah, you are wrong, Jared.
You know, the playoffs has two rounds now, Jared. Guys, did you get that memo?
Guys, first time for everything. I might have been wrong there. So Clemson, sure.
Clemson, definitely.
So what are the four teams that that
Miami?
We
need?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
South Carolina.
10, we need four more spots. No.
A&M?
No. Notre Dame.
Texas A&M, yes. Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame, definitely. So we're too shy.
Yeah, so then you'd get to, like,
ASU, definitely.
Let's put ASU in.
No, but see, like, that's the tough thing is, like, how do you determine then between, like, a Florida, a Wisconsin, a, you know, Texas A&M?
Well, you don't. There's somebody comes together and goes, let's approach all these schools and talk them into this model so we can create what we want. See, that's the beauty.
And then, there's going to be schools like Nebraska and Miami that think they deserve to be in this, even though their recent history says they shouldn't.
Yeah. Nebraska, it's not 1984 anymore. Miami, it's not 1985 anymore.
Yeah, you don't have the Pope on the tractor anymore.
Florida State, same thing. I feel good about those picks. We're still short.
We're just too short.
Yeah.
But I want to finish it because what I really like as an idea, I love this idea.
It's got to be Wisconsin.
Okay.
They're consistently
I agree.
Good.
Okay. I've got, but that's enough. That's enough Big Ten. We're not going Northwestern. Are we missing any Big East programs?
State?
Are we missing anything on the East Coast? Is there any?
They're
not even Power Five. They wouldn't even count.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
No. I mean, the only
independent. The Big East doesn't even exist as a football conference anymore.
Oh, okay. You know which one we missed? Potentially, it is another Big Ten team, Penn State.
Oh,
okay. Let's add Penn State. Okay,
that's four from the Big Ten.
Oh, that's the SEC is not going to like that.
No.
So if you did that, and then you had something where you could have three other schools come up and then join this based on merit or whatever. So, like, maybe the champion of the lesser division. This model works so much better in college football than it does in soccer. Because, like I said, in soccer in Europe, there's a real feeling like this stuff is part of the tapestry of who we are. This stuff, you can't break away. You can't destroy this game over greed. We're different in America.
Yeah, but that's how it feels.
We destroy everything over greed.
Well, that's true. But in these small college towns that the college and the football team is all that matters, do you think that they're going to take kindly in, you know, Arkansas or, you know.
We left out another good one.
Who?
Auburn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got to get. Okay, Auburn's going to replace, what, Penn State or Wisconsin?
I mean, okay, I know UCLA is one of the, I mean, I know they don't have the college football history,
no,
but
yeah,
they're a big, powerful school in the grand scheme of things, if that's where.
Win a game or two, and then we'll talk. This is not, this is our power, our Super League.
Okay.
We're halfway through on this Wednesday. The Bickley Blast is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.